Moms, you have the wonderful ability to capture every moment of life and somehow make it special. We used to call those Kodak moments, remember? Those of you under 20 may be surprised to know that before the digital age, we actually took photos with film in something called a camera. Can you imagine that? There were rolls of 12 and 24 and 36, and they weren't cheap, and then you had to pay to get them developed. And hopefully about half of them would turn out, and maybe one or two would be really good. This could be pretty frustrating. And I know from personal experience going way back in my life, because when Colleen and I went on our honeymoon, we took probably a dozen to 15 rolls of 36, and we were so excited to be able to get those pictures back, you know, pick the good ones, put them in an album that we would have for all of our married life. Well, guess what? When I went to pick up our pictures, only the first half of the first roll had actually developed. It turned out, as we figured, that I had bumped our little Instamatic camera against a cave wall out in the Black Hills in South Dakota, and apparently the shutter had stopped working. So all the pictures that I thought I had taken on our whole honeymoon weren't actually being taken at all. That was a major disappointment. Well, guess what? Colleen and I are going to go out west this summer and retrace the footsteps of that honeymoon trip, and I'm going to take thousands of pictures, and I'm going to send them all to the cloud, wherever that is, but it must be a lot like heaven, you know? And that's going to be fun. But moms, really admit it now, you take way too many pictures of your kids these days. And then you post them on Facebook and Instagram for the whole world to see, or they take up a major amount of memory on your phone. You've got thousands of pictures there that you don't quite know how to download and get rid of. It seems that life has gotten to the point where we can't do anything spontaneously ever anymore. Every moment is staged. Right? And if not staged, then reenacted with even bigger smiles and bigger poses, because God forbid we should have to just capture a moment in our mind or in our heart. My two newest grandkids, Livia and Simon, I'm convinced they're like 6 and 8 months old now. They've already had more pictures taken of them than I had taken of me in my first 21 years of life. But they are pretty cute kids. Well, we try to capture every moment, but in doing so, I think we can actually miss the moments that God really intends that we capture in life. Friends, your dash is more than a digital experience. Yesterday, I attended the funeral service for Bob Bagney's mother, Ruth, who, as you heard, passed away at the age of 90. Bob, as many of you know, leads the Hope Connection ministry here, and he, if you didn't know, he's just begun also serving as our church custodian to supplement his income. What a great guy he is. And he preached the sermon at this memorial service for his mother and did just a wonderful job. Now, when Ruth was about 80, she wrote down her life story, which was good because shortly after that, Alzheimer's began to take its toll on her memory. What does an 80-year-old write in 3 to 4 pages that summarize a whole lifetime of memories? Well, she wrote about being the 4th of 9 children and the love in her family, which had so few material possessions. She wrote about other people who took her in during high school. As a freshman in high school, she actually left her family home so that she could go to school because it was too far to walk and they had no vehicle. She moved to town and lived with some family there and worked at Mabel's Cafe in a little town called Gonvick, Minnesota. I was there yesterday. She wrote about her husband, Snook, who owned an auto repair garage and worked 7 days a week just so that they could support their 3 children, of whom Bob is one. She wrote about the struggle of losing her husband at an early age and then being blessed several years later to meet a wonderful man, Helmer Hansen, whom she married, with whom she shared the last 28 years of her life. He is 98, by the way, and was at the funeral yesterday. And Helmer and Ruth, Bob tells me, every night would read a passage in the Bible, pray for everybody from their family and circles of friends that they could think of by name, pray the Lord's Prayer, then have a few hugs and kisses before they went to bed. And that on the night that Ruth passed away, they were holding hands. Why do I share this with you? Because Ruth Bagney, who was a woman of deep faith, got it right. In these few pages that summarize her dash, she highlighted the things that matter most. Faith, family, and friends, words that are far more significant than just a plaque on your bathroom wall. Isn't that what we all want? But here's the key. I would offer this thought to you this morning, which you'll find there in your notes. To capture every moment, we must live in the moment. Say that with me. To capture every moment, we must live in the moment. You see, all too often we fail to live in the moment because of regrets of the past, fears of the future, pressures or expectations of the day. The Bible actually says a lot about this topic, sometimes sounding a real wake-up call because God doesn't want us to miss the moments of life. In Ephesians 5:15, for example, the Apostle Paul says, "Be very careful then how you live." How you live, friends, that's your dash. That's the life you live between the date you're born and the date you die. He says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise," doing what? "Making the most of every opportunity." See it there? "Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." Yes, there's plenty of evil to go around in our world today, and that's precisely why so many of us live in fear. Some days, even as we put our kids on the bus or kiss our husband or wife goodbye as they leave for work. This is why Paul counsels that we should make the most of every opportunity because life is indeed uncertain. Every moment is a Kodak moment when we begin to realize that every day is a gift from God. Psalm 118, verse 24 declares, and say it with me, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Which day? This day. Just think about it. King David says, "This is the day that the Lord has made." Right now, this moment is a gift from God. And if we don't live in it, this moment will be gone as quickly as it comes. The Bible says that one day this world as we know it will pass away. And the time as we know it will be no more. That's why King David says, "Rejoice and be glad in it now." That's why Christians are called to live life on purpose, making the most of our days, loving God, loving others, and making a difference in this world. Kodak moments in a digital age. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 through 2 pick up this theme, and you'll hear here that sense of urgency. Paul says, as God's co-workers, friends, that's us, co-workers with God in Christ, "we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says," read it with me, "in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." See, we often use these verses to remind people of the importance of not delaying in making a commitment to Christ. But there's more here. God hears us. God helps us. His favor is available right now in this moment. Yes, to capture every moment in life is more than snapping a bunch of pictures. It's living in the moment, tuned in to God and to others. A photo can capture a memory, but it doesn't capture life itself. Catch that this morning, people. We must open our eyes to see it and embrace it in the here and now, or we will miss life. We'll have photo albums full of pictures, but we'll miss what really counts the most. So in the remaining minutes that I have for this message this morning, I'd like to briefly suggest four ways that you can capture every moment by living in the moment. And I think that mothers do this better than anyone. We joke about them having eyes in the back of their heads because it seems like they can see everything. But really, I think they have eyes in their hearts. First, to live in the moment, you must share the unconditional love of Jesus. Write that down. To live in the moment, you must share the unconditional love of Jesus. You see, mothers know what unconditional love is all about. It's love with no strings attached. It's love no matter what. It's love in every and any circumstance. Unconditional love is the greatest kind of love because it's the love represented by God's gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. Why are there far more calls to mothers on Mother's Day than there are to fathers on Father's Day? It's because they have the gift of unconditional love. Why is it that a father can pour out into his children, especially his sons, teaching them, coaching them, counseling and encouraging them, and then when they become a star and they're on TV and they're interviewed, the first thing they say is, "Hi, Mom." It's because moms have that gift of demonstrating unconditional love. When a child stumbles and scrapes their knee, a mother doesn't tell the poor crying kid that they shouldn't have been doing that after all, or they wouldn't have gotten that scraped knee, at least not right away. A mother just picks that little one up, comforts their cry, kisses it away, and tells them that it'll be okay. That's unconditional love. It's there from the beginning to the end. And friends, down through history, we have seen it expressed in the most difficult situations imaginable. Last night there was a really neat story on Care 11. Probably some of you saw it on the 10 o'clock news of an elderly Jewish lady who had been in a concentration camp as a young girl. And one of her great regrets in life was that she was never able to finish her education. So there she was at Wayzata High School. I'm guessing she had to be 90-ish. And she had her robe and her hat on, and she had received her high school diploma yesterday and then threw her hat into the air as though she were an 18-year-old. Praise the Lord. This reminded me of a story that I read a long time ago now, but one that sticks in my mind of a Jewish family named Rosenberg who were arrested and also placed in a concentration camp in World War II. It was a labor camp, and the rules were very simple. If you were able to complete your work each day, you were allowed to live. But if you were no longer able to work, you were marched off to the gas chambers. And this Mr. Rosenberg had already seen his elderly parents taken away and put to death. And every day he worried about, especially his youngest boy, whose name was David, because he'd always been a weak, frail, you know, kind of a sickly kid. And so after a day's work, he and his wife and his two boys would, you know, hopefully find their way back to these barracks and look for one another and huddle there and hug and support and love and pray and thank God, you know, for the blessings of another day of life. Well, one day Mr. Rosenberg came back into those barracks and began to search for his family, and he couldn't find them. And he, you know, concerned about the worst. Finally, he located his son, his oldest son, Joshua, huddling over in a corner, crying, praying. And he said, "Josh, tell me it isn't so." And this boy said, "Yes, Dad. Today, David could no longer do his work, and they came for him." And he said, "And your mom? Where's your mother?" And Joshua said, "Well, David was crying, and he was afraid." And Mom said, "David, don't be afraid." And she took his hand and went with him. Now, that's a story that was probably repeated hundreds, if not thousands, of times. because we know that mothers, more than all of us put together, understand unconditional love and have that ability to capture it in the moment when it really counts and let us know just what we mean to them. And you know, this is why so many young men grow up and even subconsciously say, I want to marry someone just like my mom, right? Why? Because we all want that unconditional love that we've experienced from our mothers. Second, to live in the moment, you must share in the struggles of life. It's not easy being a parent, is it? Whether your child is 6 months, 16, or 60. And the responsibility we feel never stops. It just changes a little bit as the years go on. James Dobson, you remember that name? He's the founder of Focus on the Family. He told a story in one of his books. His wife's name is Shirley. Their little boy's name was Ryan. And James said one day he came home only to discover that Shirley had had just a terrible day as a young mother. Ryan had been sick and had cried most of the day. Once she had been changing his diapers, the phone had rung, and before she could even get him buttoned up, he had another attack of diarrhea. That may be the first time I've ever used the word diarrhea in a sermon. She cleaned up that mess and put him in clean, sweet-smelling clothes. Then she took him to the living room and fed him. I know this is bringing back memories for you, moms. As she was burping him, he threw up all over himself and her and the couch too. James wrote, quote, when I came home, I could smell the aroma of motherhood everywhere. Shirley cried out to me, was this in my contract? Sound familiar? This is just the beginning of the journey, isn't it? To capture every moment, we must live in the moments, even those moments of struggle. It's in the contract that we call the Bible, and a sick baby is just the beginning. In Galatians 6, verse 2, Paul says, bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the laws of Christ. In other words, don't be afraid to get your hands dirty in this life. It's part of living the dash. When one suffers in the family, we all suffer. When one celebrates, we all celebrate. But it's not easy. I mean, I can understand the feelings of the mother of three children who was asked, if you had it to do all over again, would you still have children? And she said, yes, just not these three. You and your family might be right in the middle of some struggles today. I suspect that most of us are, because that's life, isn't it? I encourage you to hang in there. Stick together. Work through it. You know, some of the strongest families that I've come to know over the years are families who have faced some of the most significant challenges in life and have discovered that in the middle of them, God is there. Other people are there. And there's hope. Some of the children I know who have pushed and pulled the hardest in life have gone on to be some of the best leaders and the most faithful witnesses for Jesus. And at Christ Church, with our awesome youth ministries, we're here to help along the way because we're a family too. And then third, friends, to live in the moment, you must share a personal faith that transcends life, that rises above life. It's like having an eternal perspective even while you're right in the thick of things. The Apostle Paul recognized this when he told his colleague Timothy that he had been reminded of his sincere faith, which first lived in his grandmother Lois and in his mother Eunice. So here's the Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian of first century Christianity, maybe the greatest Christian ever, giving credit to his mom and his grandma for his faith. Isn't that cool? I would guess that every one of you here today has someone in your life who has had a real impact on your faith, and it may well be your mother or your grandmother. My mom, Betty, and her mom, my grandma Ford, have both had that kind of influence on me. course, Grandma Ford passed away years ago, but you know, what I learned from them is that it's about a sincere faith. It's not showy, it's not overbearing, it's real, and it works every day. When I was an eighth grader, I spent summers on my grandpa and grandma Ford's farm over near Amory, Wisconsin. My parents, I've shared before, grew up in Luck, Wisconsin, which is not too far from there. And I loved it. I was a city kid, and I loved getting away and, you know, milking cows and baling hay, and it was just a great way to spend a summer. And during those summers, I saw that sincere faith in the life of my grandma. And I remember one day I asked her, "Grandma, when do you feel closest to God?" I don't know where that question came from, but she said, "Greg, it's in the morning. When you and Uncle Wayne are out in the barn milking the cows, I'm out in the garden." And she said, I'm planting seeds, or I'm cultivating, you know, or I'm picking raspberries or vegetables, depending on the time of the year. She said, "That's when in my heart I sing those hymns that I love to God. That's when in my heart I talk to God. I have my prayer time." And I just saw, you know, a living faith, both in my grandma and, of course, in my mom. There's a story about four preachers who were discussing the merits of various translations of the Bible. One liked the King James Version because of its beautiful prose and eloquent English. Another liked the New International Version, that's what we use here, because it's considered to be such a faithful translation of the original Hebrew and Greek. Still another liked the New Living Translation because of its modern vocabulary and its readability. The fourth minister was silent for a moment, and then he said, "I like my mother's translation best." Oh, surprise, the other three pastors said they didn't know that his mother had been a part of translating the Bible. "Yes," he replied, "she translated it into real life, and it was the most convincing translation that I've ever read." Moms, to capture every moment is to share a personal faith that is both practical to life, yet transcends life. You have the opportunity to both make faith real every day, but also give your kids a perspective that we serve a big God, and that there's more to life than just what we can see and grab onto here. When you do, every moment has the potential to have eternal significance. And then fourth, to live in the moment is to share every blessing of life, every blessing of life. You know, there's a wonderful story in the Bible about a mother. She was called the mother of the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder. Their names were James and John, and they were two of Jesus' 12 disciples. And she was what we would call today a helicopter mom. Always hovering, always trying to manipulate situations to her children's advantage. She even had the audacity one day to request of Jesus that in heaven her sons would sit one to his right hand and one to his left. That was pretty bold, wasn't it? Well, it may be easy to criticize mothers like her, but today on this Mother's Day, I'm going to cut her a little slack, because you know what? Like all of us, she just wanted what was best for her boys. She saw something in Jesus, and she wanted her boys to be close to him, close to the action, even though she hadn't yet grasped the deeper meaning of who he was and what he had come to do. Moms, pray for your children that they would all be close to Jesus and have a desire to be close to him. Whatever blessings that you have experienced in life, don't hesitate to share those blessings of having a relationship with Jesus with your kids. Make it real. Have big expectations of what God can do in their lives, because guess what? He has the desire and the ability to answer every one of your prayers. And so to capture every moment, we must live in the moment. We must share the unconditional love of Jesus. We must share in the struggles of life. We must share a personal faith that rises above life. And we must share every blessing of life. Proverbs 31:28 highlights the greatest blessing that a mother can experience. It says, her children arise and call her blessed. You see, Kodak moments are all around us because this is the day that the Lord has made. Even in this digital age, the best memories are captured in our heads and in our hearts as we embrace every moment as a gift from God. So may God bless all our mothers here today. As you live your dash for Jesus, don't dwell on the past or worry about the future. God holds you in the palm of His hand. Live in the moment, and your children will indeed rise up and call you blessed. Amen.